The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, Irish author and documentary maker Manachan McGann is starring in a two-part documentary series, Listen to the Land Speak, which is being released today on RT1. And of course, you'll be able to see it on the player as well. The programme sees Manachan reveal the profound knowledge and wisdom contained in the Irish landscape and the myths, and explore how they may have shaped the way we all look at the world. Over the weekend, the programme won the Best Cinematography Award in the Galway Film FLA. And Manachan joins me now. Manachan, good morning.
Hello, Pat. I'm so humbled with how beautifully you pronounce my name. I need to pronounce my name that beautifully. That's how it should be pronounced, and I often mangle it.
Well, I was looking at the beginning of your documentary last night where you even refer to your own name and think that, I don't know, what's in a name? That you're a monk-like figure with a monk-like name.
Exactly, yeah. Like Manachan, or as I say in English, Manchan, which is terrible. Manachan, like the name had died out probably for 1,000 years before my answer, my relations decided to bring it back. Cecil O'Reilly, who translated the Tyne Bacuinne, wanted the name brought back. It's part of that culture, I suppose, that we had almost lost, and that it was put on to me to bring it back. But it meant little monk. So me now living here in Westmeath in my little shack in the woodlands with my oak forest was exactly what St. Manachan was doing when in the 6th century.
Now, you talk about your purchase of that little patch of ground, which has now become your wood. But before all of that, you were a nomad and you were searching, if you like, for spiritual roots in other cultures.
Exactly, yeah. So, I mean, I had that strong upbringing with Irish culture and, as I said, with the O'Reilly and TF, with my relations, were so focused on the Celtic revival. But I turned away from that. I realised that, I spoke Irish before in English, but I wanted to find out cultures abroad. So I spent, I suppose, about 10 years living in India, in South America, in Africa, and then Rouen. Then my brother came out and we started making these documentaries in 1996, looking at minority cultures in Greenland, in Taiwan, with the Bedouin, the Taru Mara people, the Yami people, so just cultures all over the world, thanks to T.G. Carr's great perspective at the time of Sulela. And then at some point, really around the time of COVID, I thought, no, well, wait there. We must have that same cultural richness in Ireland. And the mythology that I could see was so palpable in those places abroad. I thought, I wonder, does the mythology of Ireland, does it still speak to the land? Is it still connected? Does it give it insights into the ways that our ancestors would have related to the land and particularly the spirit of the land?
You brought a book out, published in 2022, Listen to the Land Speak, and this really is the genesis of these two documentaries.
Exactly. So, yeah, so that was me describing the connection of myth and looking at the landscape. But then when I heard the Crossing the Line Films, who are like Ireland's probably main wildlife film company, who make things long ago for National Geographic and Discovery, when they wanted to make a film of it, I thought, how beautiful. Because in some way, in my book, I'm trying to capture the landscape on words, on paper. But I knew Crossing the Line, and particularly the director, Morris O'Brien, who'd spent a lot of time working for BBC documentaries. I thought they're going to get it so much deeper. So they're going to, particularly a wildlife film company will insist on spending like a year and a half documenting the landscape, as opposed to a lot of the TV programs I make. We squeeze them into 3 weeks. So I knew we were going to get a lot deeper into the lore and the land of Ireland.
Now, do we lose our connection with our roots, if you like, we cover everything with concrete these days. And even when we go to our suburbs and decide to name our estates, often we forsake any connection with our heritage.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. Since we joined the EU in the late 70s, there's been so much change. But what amazes me is that there is so much of the ancient way of seeing the landscape still in the land. Like you come to a place like Loch Gur in Limerick, which is obviously about the goddess Áine. And she's still in the minds, in the words of local people. They'll have stories about Áine rising up out of the lake, or her relationship with the Garo d'Irle, with the sort of the almost supernatural Norman lord in the area. But you'll have her pregnant belly arising in a hill, Knockadoon, the centre of the lake. And her head will be just down the road in Knockáine. And then on the Cork-Kerry border, the Paps of Danu, Háchia, Háine, the two breasts of Áine, you know, she's basically represented in the landscape, which is a unique thing to find. I thought I would have had to go to Peru or Bolivia to find a landscape where you still see the goddess.
Now, in terms of the landscape and our commune with it, and how we may heal ourselves by, you know, that old poem, "What is this life of full of care? We have no time to stand and stare." You yourself have, I suppose, had to do a bit of healing recently.
Yeah, during the course of the filming of the documentary, which, as I say, took a year and a quarter, I think quite early in it, I realised that I had prostate cancer, which is kind of curable. You know, it's a very easy cancer to have, although mine had spread a little bit to the bone and a little bit to the lymph nodes. So in the journey, you know, over the course of the year and a quarter, I'd be up on the top of the Hill of Uisneach, or I'd be out on Inishmore in the Aran Islands at one of those churches that are being swallowed by the landscape, and looking at, you know, rock art that is eroding, and realizing that my body itself was eroding, was on its own journey of aging, just as all of us are. So I was contending with what that illness meant for me, the fact that it was slowly eating its way to the body, as I was looking at these landscapes that were also going through change and going through transformation. So it definitely added an extra layer to the journey for me. Yeah.
Now, the question of healers, I mean, there are so many healers and I suppose shamans and holy men and holy wells and holy water and all the rest of it around the country. Do you believe in that kind of thing, or are you someone with your own ailment who decided conventional wisdom, medicine, that's the way to go?
I've done both. Like, I've been a very good patient. I'm in Bowman and James's, and I've done all the radiotherapy and taken the hormone therapy. But I am so open to the bigger story, too. So I'm just back, actually, from working with Cree elders in Alberta and Vancouver Island, with Tsleil Waututh elders. And I was in Mexico earlier. It's part of, like, that's my interest anyway over the years, has been finding the cultural connections between Ireland and other cultures. So it was only natural that in terms of healing, I'd also be looking at that story, looking at wider, broader field, realizing that there was wisdom in Ireland long ago. And it's actually connected with a lot of other Indigenous cultures around the world.
And it's interesting, both. Even earlier this morning with Luke O'Neill, you know, nature, we know, has provided so many cures, whether it's aspirin from the bark of the willow and salicylic acid. But this morning he was talking about the Pharaoh's curse, this fungus that killed the people who opened the tomb of Tutankhamun, but it will perhaps deliver us a cure for leukemia.
Yeah, I mean, the world is so mysterious. Even when you were talking about the national anthem, you know, Fianna Fáil, or Sinna Fianna Fáil, Fianna, you know, we're the people of the deer, basically, which is such a gorgeous idea. And that mindset was rooted to the idea that the nature had cures for us. It had lessons for us on how to live, basically to follow the way of the deer. There's so much more in our mythology, and it'd be a shame if we did just dismiss it. We're lucky that the landscape still holds many of the ritual sites, the sacred sites. We're lucky that the monks wrote down the stories that brought these truly ancient stories that brought those sites alive. So at a time of modernity, it really is valuable to also go back and see what were the lessons we could learn from those ancestors.
Well, Monaghan, thank you very much for joining us on the programme today. The first part of the two-part documentary, Listen to the Land Speak, is going to be available on RT1 tonight at 10 minutes past 10. Monaghan, thank you very much for joining us. It's called Listen to the Land Speak.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.